السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. وقد قال الله تعالى: وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. Hello my kiram, most respected brothers. We are discussing a hadith reported in Bukhari Sharif by Hazrat Atta radiallahu ta'ala. It is called hadith Qudsi because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nabi, O my beloved nabi, O my beloved messenger, O my beloved prophet, Inna arsalnaka shahidam mubashiran wa nadhira. We sent you as a witness, as a giver of glad tidings, and as a warner. I have explained that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave glad tidings to those who were the doers of good, or will be the doers of good till the day of Qiyamah. And he gave warnings to those people who were not restraining themselves from evil, from haram, from forbidden things. In fact, that is also a sign of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's being a rahmat. Warning somebody is also rahmat. Just as the giving of glad tidings is rahmat and mercy, in the same way, warning a person against dangers is also rahmat. So we have to really look at it. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, we sent you as a mercy unto the worlds. So this is also the mercy of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he does not want to see any of his ummati go into Jahannam. He does not want to see anybody fall in the pit fire of hell. So if a father is warning his son that if you take this route, then it's dangerous. There are hijackers on the road. They will lead you to destruction. They will take away your car. They may take your life. The other route is a very clear route. There's a plenty of security. And there is great hope that you will reach your destination without any kind of problem. So now the father has given two routes. And he has, on the one route he has given glad tidings. And on the other side he's giving a warning. So that is due to the mercy of the father and the love of the father for the child that is telling them the both things. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is warning the ummah of the consequences of sins is also the shan of his rahmat. That's a shan of his rahmat. This is, we have sent you as the giver of glad tidings and also as a warner. That if you are not going to restrain yourself from haram, if you are not going to obey Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will face the consequences in this world and in the hereafter. So there is also the shan of His rahmat. وَحِرْزًا لِلْأُمِّيِّينَ. And you are a protector for the ummis. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, أَنْتَ عَبْدِي وَرَسُولِي. You are my abd and you are my messenger. Abdiyat, I have explained, kamil abdiyat Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, but we too are the servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and we have to bring into our lives to whatever degree we can of abdiyat, servitude to Allah ta'ala. It is only in the servitude to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that the person will find peace, harmony, tranquility. He is not going to find it anywhere else. No matter how much effort he makes, he can accumulate the maximum amount of material things of this world. He can get positions in government. He can become a ruler of a country. He can have kingdoms, but he will never ever find peace, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the creator of happiness and peace. So there again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's warning we have to keep in mind, that if you are going to do certain actions in your lives, then you will find restlessness, then you will find all kinds of problems, then you will find your enemies overpowering you. All those hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which we have been discussing here many, many times, that is what we have to keep it before us when we look at this hadith, that he is also a warner. So, anta abdi wa rasuli. And the Rasul or the Messenger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, whatever he says, because it is from Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala's whole government is behind that saying of that Rasul. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's power and qudrat and might is with that Rasul and his followers. It is like the government of a country, that sometimes that policeman who is at the intersection, now he is raising his hands and stopping a car. So the person looks at him and he says that this person looks such a thin, feeble, weak person. And I've got a big car and I'm also hefty and well built. And what can he do to me? I can get down and give him one punch and flatten him. So if he has to do that, then all that person has to do is do a backup call. One call to the headquarters. And what happens after that? You find cars with sirens from all sides coming to his assistance and help. So he may be looking weak, but he's not weak because he's got a whole backup behind him. There's a whole force behind him. There's a whole army behind him. There's a whole government behind him. So the Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the people, this is the mistake that they made, that when they looked at the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala, then they said that he is a human being like us. Na'udhu Billah, he was not an ordinary human being like them. The Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if they saw weakness in him outwardly, that he does not seem to have a big military and a big force, and he does not seem to have any kind of pomp and glory, and even his clothes are simple, his living is simple, he is eating simple food. So why should we believe in such a Nabi? Why should we bring Iman in such a Nabi when we are more powerful, we are more greater, when we have more wealth, we have more position of honor and dignity, then why should we submit ourselves to this Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? So that's the mistake that they made. They did not realize that behind this Nabi is the power and the might of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's unseen forces are with this Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Yes, there is a little bit of test and a trial that the Nabi and his ummah is put through, so that there may be a sifting out, there may be a sorting out of those who are on haqq and those who are on batil, or there may be a sorting out of those people who have truly believed in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with sincerity, and they have submitted themselves irrespective of what comes. And those people who have just believed because they were seeing certain kinds of benefits in accepting Islam, like the munafiqeen. So that is a different thing. But they saw the force and the power and the might and the qudrat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the Battle of Badr, where there were just 313 Muslims and 1,000 enemies fully armed. But how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent down his angels and routed the enemies. Now that was those angels that came, that was that backup force. And that was not only for the Battle of Badr. It was not only for the Battle of Uhud. It was not only for the Battle of Khandaq. Everywhere we find Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, after putting the Muslims through a very severe test and trial, when they are shaken up, sometimes they are shaken up to such an extent, وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, after that severe test, then he sends that unseen forces of his. That is that backup force that I'm talking about. And anyone can summon that at any time in his life, right up till the day of Qiyamah. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got that force. Allah Ta'ala has got that might. Allah Ta'ala has got that power. It is the same Allah that was in the Battle of Badr that exists today. There is no weakness or deficiency that has come in that Allah. It is the same Allah that was in the Battle of Uhud. It is the same Allah that was in the Battle of Khandaq. And the same Allah that was at the time of Fatah Makkah. So if, and even after the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherever the Muslims went, victory upon victory, massive armies were routed. Muslims were hardly a few percent in number in comparison with the enemy forces. If we have to read the history, it shocks us and surprises us. But yet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving them victory. So what was it? It was that same lessons that they had learned in the company of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that if we develop taqwa in our hearts and we stay steadfast on our deen and iman, and if we resist the temptations of the nafs, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send His madad, His nusrat, His help. It came everywhere. So what is the reason that we are not seeing it today? Yet so much of sacrifices are being made. Everybody is asking this question. Then, Maulana, why the du'as are not being accepted? Du'as upon du'as people are making at Makkatul Mukarramah, at the Multazam. And they are making du'as in the Tahajjud Salat, and in every Ijtima, and in every Jalsa, and in every Khanqa, and in every Madrasa, and in every Darul Uloom, and in every Masjid, and every individual, everybody is making du'a. And why don't we see the effects of that du'a? Well, then read the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam again. There's no time to go into details and go through all the hadiths. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has clearly mentioned that when you are going to stop inviting towards ma'roof and prohibiting from evil, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send down His azab upon you. And at that time, even if your pious and righteous ones have to make du'a, the du'a will not be accepted. So now all the time we think that this Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi Anil Munkar is that only for some jamaat that they must do this work of Amar bil Ma'ruf Nahi Anil Munkar. Whereas it is for every individual in his life, he must make invite towards good and he must prohibit from evil. We can do it in our homes. We can do it in our businesses. We can do it in our families. We can do it amongst our friends. But instead of inviting towards good, we are inviting towards evil. The person does not like to watch the television programs himself. All the films that he wants to watch in the cinema, he does not want to go himself. He does not want to go to the disco himself. He does not want to go to the theaters himself. He does not want to go to the casinos himself. Very few people will find that they drive their car alone and they go to the casino or to the disco. They always want to take their friends along. Go to our rave clubs and go to our drug dens and vice dens and prostitute quarters. And there you will find that mostly a person has brought his friend along. So we are not only indulging in sins ourselves, but we are also inviting others to indulge in sins with us. Now when this is the state of affairs, then how do we expect that hidden force of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to come to our assistance? That is one part of it. Otherwise, as I said, that policeman that is standing there, he is looking so weak, so feeble, so thin, he may have done a little bit of training, but in comparison, sometimes the person that is driving the car is far more heftier, and he's got black belt, and he's got all kinds of other qualifications in martial arts, but yet he is scared of taking to task that simple little policeman that's standing there. He says that little hand that he raises, the person stops his car. He doesn't go and argue with that person or shoot him or fight with him. Why? Because he believes that behind him there is a whole army. Behind him there's a whole government. Just one press of a button on the cell phone and the whole force of the government will be at his assistance and beck and call. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is with the believers. And the believers can same press that same button and call Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hidden forces, Allah ta'ala's nusrat and madad. But the condition is this, that the majority, at least the majority, if not each and every one in the ummah, then at least the majority, whereas it should have been that everyone in the ummah should have had 100% deen in their lives. But here we are talking about at least the majority of the Muslims must have salat in their lives. Do we have salat in the majority of the Muslims of the world? Don't look at one small sample of people in some masjid or in some khanqa or in some tablighi markaz and say that the whole world has changed. Travel out and then see. And in fact, we don't have to go very far. Even people that are traveling for Hajj and Umrahs, how many of them are negligent with their Salat? In journey, it seems as if Salat is now maaf. We don't have to make it. There are concessions that have been given that make it like this or make it like that, make tayammum, whatever it is, if it's necessary. But namaz is not maaf. So now in the majority of the ummah, when the head is not there, which many times I have mentioned that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the position of salat in deen is like the head in the human body. How many times I have repeated this, that without the head there is no body. Without the head there is no body, I mean, there is no life. Without the head there is no life. So if the salat is not there, then there is no life in the deen of that person, that there is no deen in that person. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then does not look with an eye of mercy at that ummah in whom's majority they don't have even the head there, the salat there. So no matter how much of du'as the world can make, but we have to make du'as and to change ourselves. We have to make the effort to change. Then the du'as of others also will help us. So we have to make the du'as. But this question that Mawlana, people are making du'as so much in the Haram Sharif and here and there and everywhere. Why is it that still we are suffering this kind of calamities and disasters and azab and so much of bombing and so much of loss of life and wealth and property? Indeed, it is very, very sad. Those people will get their punishment. Those who are making zulm on the innocent women, children, they will get their azab. They cannot escape the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. For their zulm, there will be punishment. Unless, of course, they accept Islam and then they make sincere tawbah, it is a different issue. But if they think that they can get away with the zulm, they will never ever get away. Oppression, tyranny, injustice, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not tolerate. A government can survive. A government can survive on kufr. Even if the entire government is a government of kufr, that government can still survive for some time. But when it's a government of oppression and tyranny and zulm, then Allah Ta'ala gives a little bit of respite and then the government is toppled. That is the history. You can look at history right through that this is what has happened. Those people who thought they had great might and great power and they tyrannized and they did injustice and they oppressed, how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala raised in that same community people who trained, who practiced, or who led groups, not necessarily Muslims also, even though they were not Muslims, but Allah ta'ala created an opposition for them, and that opposition then toppled them. Look at history, you will find right through that even though they may not have been Muslims, it's not necessary that they had to be Muslims and great believers in Allah ta'ala. Injustice and tyranny and oppression is something that Allah Ta'ala does not tolerate, irrespective of which quarters it comes from. But a respite is given, a little bit of time is given, so that those people may repent, change their lives and come back on haq. But when those people upon whom injustice has been done, if they plead to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if they beg of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if they make dua to Allah Ta'ala, then there's no barrier between their dua and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala sends down His azab, or He creates an opposition in that land for that government which is oppressive, and then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala topples that government. Then those who have taken their place, if they do the same thing, then the same thing will happen to them. But of course, if it is a Muslim ummah and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them dominance, then as long as they stay steadfast on deen and sharia and sunnah, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's hidden nusrat and madad will be with them. So what we are hearing of in Palestine and in Chechnya, Bosnia and other parts, and especially in Palestine at present, where now bombs are raining upon innocent women and children, where life has become so cheap in the eyes of these enemies of Islam, because what other enmity do they have except that these people are Muslims? Masjid al-Aqsa is in their control. Or they want Masjid al-Aqsa to be under subjugation all the time. So even international norms and standards, everything is being violated. Then why is the madad and the nusrat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala not coming? Now this is something that is worrying people. So we have to keep our minds very, very clear that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, very difficult and trying times came upon him. But there was a world of difference that his companions were steadfast. They did not shake for a moment. They did not give up Islam. They did not give up any part of their deen. Their namaz, their zakat, their salat, their siyam, everything was the fulfillment of the rights of people. Everything was in its place. So after a little while, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brought the enemies in battle against them, and then Allah ta'ala sent his hidden forces. Allah ta'ala sent his angels, and those enemies were routed in the battle of Badr, in the battle of Uhud, battle of Khandaq. Gale force win in Khandaq. What did it do to the enemies? So Allah ta'ala doesn't have that gale force win anymore. So he is that same Allah. But the problem is that a large part of the ummah, which is screaming at the top of its voice, unfortunately, it does not have the deen of Islam in their lives. We are all part of that. That we talk a lot about Islam, but when it comes to our practical lives, then we find very little of that Islam. So one part of that, this is that Hadith Sharif that we are discussing, and my mind went on to something else. But anta abdi wa rasuli, on that Rasul, that the Rasul is the messenger of Allah. So the Rasul is the messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it means that if the Rasul has to order you to do something, if you are going to do it, then you've got the whole government of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to come to your help and to your assistance. And if you are not going to do it, then Allah ta'ala's azab and punishment will be with that Rasul, or whosoever is the naib or in place of that Rasul now giving that same message. Sammaytukal mutawakkil laysa bifazzin wala ghaliz wala sakhabin fil aswaq. I was discussing akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam last week, and I thought I will continue. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq, it was something that came even before his nubuwwat was announced to the people. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from day one, from the time that he was created. He was a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. In fact, before Allah Ta'ala created the heavens and the earth and everything else, Allah Ta'ala created the noor of the Nubuwwat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But there are certain things which we say that there is a wujud and there is a zuhur. Wujud means that it came that into existence. But zuhur, when it became known to the people, there's sometime a distance between the two times and the two periods. So here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had made him the Nabi, but people and he himself was made known, or was his nubuwwat was announced, and he was informed of his nubuwwat only when he was in the 40th year of his life. Otherwise there were lots of signs of his nubuwwat from the time of his birth, but it was only in the cave of Hira upon the revelation of the first verses that his nubuwwat was now announced. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this nubuwwat of his could have been after 40 years of his life announced to the people. But if you look at his akhlaq and his character, then his akhlaq and his character, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, his wife, testified to it. And Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha is talking of the time prior to his being known as a Nabi of Allah ta'ala. So this is a great lesson for us, that akhlaq came first. Then the nubuwwat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was announced. And I've mentioned in many, many bayans of mine that if you look at this call from Mount Safa, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's call from Mount Safa, when he called the people towards deen from Mount Safa, at that time he didn't show them a miracle. There were many miracles in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, but from Mount Safa, the first call, there was no miracle that was shown. He didn't say that I will split the moon into two, or water will gush forth from my fingers, or I will do this or do that with the qudrat and power of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his assistance. No, there was no miracle. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if I have to tell you that there is an army behind this mountain that is ready to attack you, will you believe me? Each and every one of them said, definitely, most certainly we will believe in you. Why? Because we have never ever found you speaking a lie. So in other words, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam first presented his akhlaq to the people, that you have seen me for 40 years of my life. I have been amongst you. I grew up amongst you. My youth was before you. My childhood days were before you. And now, prior to my claiming of nubuwwat, you have seen my life. So I am now asking you that would you believe me if I tell you this? Then you said yes. So now why should you not believe then that I am the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when I never ever spoke a lie in my entire life? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam presented his akhlaq, that was his akhlaq, that he was very honest, very truthful. And then Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam returned from the cave of Hira, very worried, very frightened, after Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had squeezed him and told him, Iqra, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ma ana biqari'in, I cannot read. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't go to any madrasa or darul ulum to study. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala educated him directly. So then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told him to read, Iqra bismi rabbika allazi khalaq. So the verses, the first verses which were revealed, then he returns home, and there he says, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. So Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha covers him up and consoles him. Now the words of consolation, which also you may have heard before, and I've explained many times, but if you have to ponder over that, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Kalla wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada, innaka latasilur rahim, wa tahmilul kal, wa taksibul ma'adum. Oh, it is also read, wa tuksabul ma'adum, wa tuqriya zayif, wa tu'inu ala nawaibil haq, aw kama qalat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Inshallah, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives life, health and opportunity, then we will discuss that what are the beautiful words, or what is the meaning of these beautiful words in which Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala consoles Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Kalla wallahi la yukhzika Allahu abada. Never, never, ever will Allah ta'ala cause any kind of embarrassment, humiliation, shame and disgrace to come upon you. Why are you fearing your life? Because you do this, you do that, and all the akhlaq that she has mentioned. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us also the tawfiq of practicing upon the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at present, my dear brothers, repeatedly we are saying this, that it is easy for us to talk about the problems here and problems there. And indeed, there are such problems that our heart bleeds. The enjoyment of life disappears when we read of in the newspapers or when we hear over the news the kind of tyranny, oppression and zulm that is being unleashed upon our innocent little children, women and people of the land of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, Palestine. So we cannot do very much. So instead of just talking and talking and talking, at least we can make some contribution. Or if not, then at least we can make a lot of dua for them. And don't think that the dua goes waste. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepts the dua. But sometimes the effect of the dua is seen after a period of time. But we will get the rewards of making dua. So engage yourselves in a lot of dua for them. Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the problems, the calamities, the disaster. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give hidayat of Islam and Iman to those enemies. Open their eyes to the beautiful teachings of Islam and Sharia and Deen. And if not, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must shake them like He shook the Aad and Samud. Allah Ta'ala must rain stones upon them. He must cause the earth to quake and swallow them up. Cause the planes to crash, cause the ships to sink, create division amongst the ranks. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must assist and help the mujahideen of Islam and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with those hidden forces. Allah ta'ala must not look at our actions and our deeds and our sins. Allah ta'ala must look at the blood of my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that flowed for this ummah. And Allah ta'ala must look at the tears of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which he shed day and night for his beloved ummah. So at least let us make dua for them. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.